One of my big takeaways from this book is etched on the last page. Robin says, "What lies behind you and what lies in front of you matters little when compared to what lies within you." Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this fine podcast, the podcast that is focused on your self-development and growth. My name is Kevin Miner, and I'm so honored, deeply honored to bring you yet another episode that I hope and pray for sure will change your life or enhance it. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're old, karibu sana. I don't know why I say the same thing just in different language. Anyway, I am so happy that you could join me today or whatever time you're listening this to sit down and gain as much as you can. I'm hoping I'll do or I'll perform to the best of my ability like I've been performing before. I honestly put my heart and soul into these episodes and today will not be any less, I guarantee. Now, in these difficult times, right, whether it's now during the pandemic or any other time that you have, you as an individual or we as, you know, together, like right now, we are facing tough times. It is natural as human beings to always look forward to the better times. You know, it's always good to look forward to the better times. And it's natural and it's good too, because I remember when I was younger, someone told me you can never appreciate the light if you don't go through some darkness. Right. And it's true. And that's why sometimes when you're in hard times, we are almost assured of good times to come. And it's okay to be positive and look forward to them. And you realize this even from the way we talk right now. Sometimes you'll be like, okay, fine, there's no much I can do right now, but watch a pandemic ishe, watch a corona ishe, ndio ntaanza ku exercise, ndio ntaenda gym, right? Like, we can't meet right now, which is, by the way, stay home, stay safe, keep the distance, but watch a corona ishe, that's when we'll start meeting, right? Like, our conversations are more looking forward to than what we can do right now. And it's okay. Like I said, it's not bad at all. But are we living in such a looking forward to, quote unquote, paradigm that we forget to live in the now? That we forget about the now? Someone once told me, if you want to see your future, look at your now. Right? And as deep as this sounds, it basically means work on your now if you want to get that future. I've had people say this verbatim, that me YOLO, wacha nikunywe sahi when I'm younger, I will stop when I get married. And I'm like, bro, if you maintain the same habit right now till that time when you get married, you realize nothing much will have changed, by the way, right? Like, you cannot say that I will quit my smoking. I've talked about this before. I'll quit my smoking when I have the children, but right now, let me just have my fun. No, trust me, you will still be smoking then, right? So we have to work on our now. We have to actually be conscious about it, because that's one thing we're never conscious about, our now. We're never conscious about it. And so this topic, all about embracing the present, living in the now, it's a topic covered in the book, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari by Robin Sharma. And I only plan to do four topics, four episodes on this book, but let me add a bonus. And so this is the last chapter. Very coincidental, and I was like, let me do this. People need to hear this. And so he talks about embracing and living in the now. If that sounds interesting, let's dive in. The book is emphatic that a truly joyful and rewarding life comes only through a very interesting process. I don't know if you're ready to hear this. A very interesting process called living in the now. Now, I personally love the way Robin puts his concepts, profoundly simple, yet simply profound. But here's the thing. The past is water under the bridge. The future is a distant horizon of your imagination. And so the most important moments are the moments in the now. I don't know if that makes sense. But they are the moments in the now. So whoever you are, wherever you are, we all have to learn how to live in it, how to live in the now. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this, or I don't know if you've ever been engaged in an activity that you almost lose track of time. Or you actually do lose track of time. It's 2 hours, zinapita, even you're like, wait, 2 hours zimeisha. Because you are in such an activity that makes you feel alive. Have you ever been in such an activity that you are enthralled in the activity? Yani, you feel like you could do this for 30 years. Because time time just flew. Needless to say, when I do this podcast, that's how I feel. No, I'm not bragging. I'm just reporting. But, you know, you are in an activity that you feel, I was born for this. Or simply, I just need to do this more often. Robin, in one of his books, actually the book that I finished reading the other day, it's called The 5 AM Club. He says, somewhere there, he says, you are most alive when your heart beats the fastest. Right? And that spoke volumes to me. You are most alive when your heart beats the fastest. And so the route to personal satisfaction, or the route, I was just using American English apple, the route to personal satisfaction is being engaged in a pursuit that challenges you, right? And we have talked about this before. We have talked about service. You know, it could be service. It could be self-development. We've talked about all this and all the various forms that they come in. And so the key here is to remember that happiness is a journey and not a destination. I cannot emphasize that enough. And if I'm being honest, I have been a victim. I have been a victim of a deluded mindset that I will be happy when I get something or when I reach at a certain point in my life. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I've been a victim. And so as right as it seemed to me at that time, I spent a lot of my time chasing happiness, right? And in turn, this made me put off the most meaningful things in my life, like family time, right? Like creating friendship bonds. It made me put off my time to create content that is meaningful to me or to create content that I enjoy. It simply made me put off having deep conversations with people dear to me. And you realize that for me, and I know this, I'm conscious of this, most of my meaningful times are when I spend with people that I love. Those are the moments I truly savor, right? And I know I might be getting a bit tangential here, but listen to this. I recently got an epiphany, and it says, you cannot think efficiency with people. You have to think effectiveness with people. Now, I read this from my current read, which I'm excited to review in the future. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And so at that point of my life, I became a monomaniac in happiness chasing, quote unquote, right? And I placed people second to things. Because why? I mean, at that time I thought, I will only be happy when I get here or when I get that or this, right? So I placed people second to things. Now, I became time-bound. When I say I became time-bound, someone like, hey, wait, so you talked about scheduling the other day. No, I am not against scheduling. I'm just against being time-bound. And this is something I never realized until recently. I became time-bound such that I started even timing people, quote-unquote again. I will explain what I mean. I started timing people. And worse, I started timing even the people that I love. So for example, I scheduled with you a call at 2 p.m. Again, I'm not against scheduling. It's very good because it helps you again savor those moments. But I used to schedule and I'm like, okay, fine. I only have 10 minutes to give you. So if I have 10 minutes only, that's the most I can give you. But remember one thing. My most meaningful moments come from these times that I spend with people. And this it was always my subconscious because I used to feel some warmth. I used to feel some fire when I'm having that deep conversation with a friend. But I only gave you 10 minutes, remember? So after those 10 minutes, I literally cut off the conversation as deep as we were in. Right? And this is funny because I knew I'm enjoying this moment, but I'm putting it off. Right? Like I would even get frustrated when I get time being stretched. And I don't know if you've experienced this. I'm sure you have. Like, with people, it's always different from any other activity. Kama tumesema tutasoma from 1 hour, you can make it 1 hour and make it good. But if you're like, let's have a meeting at 2 p.m. to 3 and just talk and finish up, you find yourself going the way up to 5 p.m. If you're an actor, you'll know that if you are working on a project with your friends, it will go till late. Right? So I didn't understand. You know, it always hurt me. But I always knew subconsciously I love this. So I always talk about one of my friends, Gashamin Deritu. We have had moments where we talk for about 6 hours straight. 6 hours straight from morning at around 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And honestly, those are some of the moments that I felt most alive. And I realized it started trickling on to other people that I care about. Like, I would seek those deep conversations. I'd seek to just have fun with people. Because you cannot think efficiency with people. You have to think effectiveness with people. Right? And that was just a personal epiphany. And I just thought I'd mention it because it spoke volumes to me. Here's the thing. The most meaningful things are not urgent, but they are important. What I simply mean is that in our life as human beings, we are living in such a way whereby we are more focused on the important and urgent things, which are, for example, you have an email that you need to reply to. You have an assignment that you need to deal with. You have a project that you need to submit tomorrow. Those are important. And yes, they are urgent. Now, you can imagine our lifestyle right now, where it's so frenetic, whereby after this activity, we have another one, right? So we forget about the not urgent, but important things, which are, for example, spending time with your family, right? These are not urgent, but they are important. You know, playing with your brother, having that deep conversation, right? And so we have to realize that the most meaningful things are almost hidden. I don't know if you get what I mean. Like, we know them subconsciously. Like, you know, I really want to spend time with my brother and just talk. Like, I know I really want to do that. But come on, it's not that important. Let me first reply to this email, then I'll get back. You spend time busy being busy, which is a killer of happiness and joy. Now, since we're talking about living in the now, it doesn't mean that now you put off your goals and dreams. At you know, because I have to savor these moments in the now. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to put off your goals and dreams and not now schedule or, you know, even calibrate a plan on how you'll get to your dreams. No. In fact, the book explains it that goals are there to energize your life. They are the long-term challenges. But the point simply is, never put off happiness for the sake of achievement. So don't fool yourself into thinking that you will be happy or will be happier when you move out or when you get that girlfriend. However, don't put off the striving to get that girlfriend or the looking forward to move out, right? Like, don't put them off, but don't fool yourself to thinking that that's the point where I'll be happy. Remember when I said, like, as human beings, we are naturally optimistic towards a better future. Don't put that off, but don't fool yourself to thinking that that's when I will be happy now, right? There's an interesting statement given in the book. And for this, I have to explain the backstory. Now, the book is basically about, it features two people, two main characters. Both of them are lawyers, but one of them quits law, goes to India, you know, sells all his luxuries, hence the title, the monk who sold his Ferrari, and then comes back from India, having gone through the experience of being a monk. Right? And so he comes back to talk to teach his other friend. Now, the monk is called, the guy who went to get transformed is called Julian, and his friend is called John, right? So he comes back, and all that I'm talking about, he's the one teaching him. And so when they were talking about this subtopic, or when they were talking about this topic, Julian was simply trying to encourage or urge John to not dare put off his family time. Because John had a family, but he had forgotten them. Like, he was telling him, don't think that you will have more time with your kids when you retire, or you will have more space to play with them when you get a bigger house, right? Like, what's the essence of being in a big house when you can't create a home? And so he gives him a statement that really dug deep into my spine. And he says, live your children's childhood. Right now, you can imagine me seated there reading this statement. And I'm like, okay, first, I don't have children. Right? But I'm actually looking forward to have them. However, I'm not thinking that's when I'll be happy. You see what I did there, right? So he's telling them, leave your children's childhood. And what he simply meant is, spend maximum time with them right now. Don't put it off. Spend maximum time with them right now. And as I listened to this, for me, it spoke to me beyond that. For me, I thought it runs across everything. Like if you have that girlfriend, leave your girlfriend's girlfriendhood. I almost say childhood. That would be weird. Leave your girlfriend's girlfriendhood. Now, I know that sounds weird, but listen. Leave your brother's brotherhood. Leave your mother's motherhood. Right? Leave your father's fatherhood. And when I say it that way, I mean, I know it sounds weird, but listen. First of all, maximize time with them. Every time you spend time with them. Because family is key. Savor those times with them. But here's another thing. As you spend this time with them, don't stand from a taking point of view. Stand from a giving point of view. When I spend time with you, what am I giving? Right? What is my giving? I give without expectation. The other night or yesterday night, I was talking to one of my closest friends, and he knows himself. And by the way, friend, I'm sorry I'm talking about this on my podcast, but it's very important to drive this point home. And my friend is in a situation whereby he likes this girl. But, you know, obviously she doesn't feel the same way. And so my friend says, you know, he's actually getting frustrated. And I have been in his position where I have a crush on someone, right? I've been there. And I simply told him, bro, I cannot tell you to put off those feelings because they are feelings and you need to embrace that you're feeling them right now and that you're human for that matter. But as because they're friends with this girl, right? Instead of getting frustrated on what you don't have right now and putting and even overlooking the friendship you have with this person, stand from a giving point of view. You just give her the love. Just love her the best way that you can. Don't think about, because the conversation was more of, no, I wanted to be this. It was from a taking point of view. And so this is what I mean when I say, leave your girlfriend's girlfriendhood. Like, it almost sounds like put yourself in their shoes so that you learn to savor those moments. And this is what happens. You will end up appreciating these people more in your life. And the best thing that will happen is that you will savor every minute. You will appreciate, you will savor. That's the word. You will savor every minute that you spend with these people. Because what are you doing? I'm living my children's childhood. Now, you might be at a point in your life right now where happiness is a luxury. And I feel you. You know, you feel like you have lost everything. Or you have actually lost everything or lost someone. You are struggling financially. You know, you simply feel lonely, right? And so as much as we're talking about living in the now, your now seems ugly. And I'm sure most of us have been in such a point. And when you're in such a point, sometimes you feel like, you even feel annoyed when you hear topics like this, like we're talking about happiness, you know, finding happiness in your now. You even get almost mad because for you, you are convinced that it's not that easy to be happy. Like it's almost like you're not allowed to be happy. But one thing I'll remind you is that happiness is a choice, right? Happiness is a choice. But here's another thing. Robin puts it succinctly in the book. No matter what your current circumstances might be, you can train yourself to enjoy the gift of living. And there are various ways you can do this, but Robin gives one simple way. Practicing the art of gratitude each day. Now, I couldn't agree with this statement more. I deeply resonate with this statement. Now, personal story. I have been practicing the art of gratitude for the past 1 month. Like seriously, intentionally doing it for the past 1 month. And I have been doing it each and every morning when I wake up and every night before I sleep. And I kid you not, I have never been happier in my life. When I say that, I'm not discrediting every other moment that I've been happy. In fact, I've had so many moments that I've just been exuberant. I've been joyful. I've been blissful. But there's a difference when you're consciously happy. There's a difference when you almost know every step you took to be happy. Like, you know the switch for happiness. Like, I can be sad right now, but I know what to do exactly. I have a calibrated formula. That's the difference when you're consciously happy, when you're aware that you're actually happy and that happiness came from you. One of the things I've struggled with all my life is drawing energy. I call it sourcing energy from others. Whereby, if I have people close to me, right, whether it's a friend or family, and me, even one of them maybe does not appear to be happy, it affects me. Whereby, you only smile when everyone is smiling. That's what I mean. And I've struggled with that all my life. But I've learned to source the energy from me. Whereby, no matter who you are, I mean, whatever you're handling, in terms of happiness, that's your part. But I have my own ways of getting that joy from me. And it has changed my life, if I'm being honest, right? And so I have been practicing the art and it has given me longevity in terms of happiness. And I'll tell you how exactly I do it, because I wish for you the best. And you don't have to follow this, but honestly, it could be your starting point. So this is what I do every morning when I wake up. Wake up at around 4:45 a.m. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, but, you know, wake up at around 4:45, you know, brush my teeth, get ready, take some water. And then from 5 to 5:20, now I use the 20-20-20 formula, which is a formula given or a concept given in the 5 a.m. club. It's very helpful. It has just been energizing me on another level. So from 5 to 5:20, I exercise, put my body into work. Punish it. Okay, not punishing, but building in a punishing way. So 5 to 5:20 is my sweating time. And then here's where the difference comes. In the second pocket, the second 20 minutes, from 5:20 to 5:40, I simply sit down in the quietness of the morning. And the first thing I do, I meditate. And I think about how I want my day to go, how I want my day to flow, right? I think about how I will treat people. I ask myself, if this is my last day, how will I treat the people who are around me, right? So that's my quiet time. And then here's another thing that I did. Now, in my YouTube channel, I did an episode called Seeking Clarity, How to Seek Clarity. And I gave 4 levels of seeking clarity, and they are self, skill, social, and service. And so I read that. I read my clarity, right? I read it to remind myself, like, this is my seeking clarity. And then now the third thing that I do is journal. So I open my journaling book and I start writing. And the first thing I write is how I feel at that moment. Most of the time it's always joyful because, you know, I'm blissful. But the second thing I write is what I'm grateful for. Deeply what I'm grateful for. And you'll be surprised when you open my journal for some of the things that I'm grateful for. It could be, I am grateful for the fact that I can breathe. Like, I know how to breathe because the air is so fresh. I am grateful for being alive. Like, I am alive, right? That's another chance for me to just make a difference. Right? And so, developing a gratitude mindset, it will do you a great deal. Like, you just sit down with yourself and you start thinking, I am grateful for this t-shirt that I'm wearing. I am grateful for the knowledge of knowing how to create a podcast. I am grateful for all the friends who constantly take their time to listen to the podcast, right? It gives you joy that sometimes you almost don't understand where it comes from. I'm grateful for the fact that there is good music that can just uplift my soul. Because here's one thing that you might need to remember. Life does not always give you what you ask for, but it will always give you what you need. Whether it's positive, whether you consider it positive or negative, someone said, sometimes we need to stop looking at experiences in terms of negative and positive and just merely leave them as experiences. I'd love to draw an end on that high note and just end it there. I feel like, you know, I am getting the goosebumps. So I do hope that you're feeling the same energy and, you know, that you got what you, you know, what you hope to get and even maybe more. One thing I'd like to ask you is do share this podcast with someone that you genuinely think needs to listen. Like, I always tell people share the podcast, but I always do it because it's protocol, right? Like, share the podcast, subscribe, whatever. But I mean it. Share it with someone that you think genuinely needs to listen, because there is no important, you know, there's so much importance in being aware of living in the now. So share it with a loved one, a friend, and even tell them where you want them to listen exactly. That point where you just want them to listen, tell them, right? On that note, thank you for taking your time to listen, and thank you in advance for sharing it, and even, you know, reaching me on my social pages to tell me what you thought about the episode. In fact, take a screenshot and share it, tag me, whether from Instagram or on my inbox. Just tell me what was your biggest epiphany. Right, I talked about giving shout outs, and I've been doing it for the past 2 episodes. And this week, Lazima, we do it again. And so, my shout out this week goes to Nuru. Nuru, that's a beautiful name. Nuru is the founder of Mind Over Matter. Right, so she actually told me to shout out Mind Over Matter, but me, I was like, come on, I have to give you some credit. So, Nuru is the founder of Mind Over Matter. Mind Over Matter is a is a group for that deals with mental awareness. It's everything mental health, and it's a beautiful group that I've had the pleasure to be in for the past almost 1 year, and so I'm grateful to be part of it. And so Nuru, your indomitable commitment to Mind Over Matter always reminds me that there is genuine fulfillment in service. And so I am proud of you, and I'm honored to be part of your success. Right, I'm honored. So keep doing it, keep striving. Until next time, guys. Bye.